Hey, welcome back to the QU Podcast. Today we're going to be doing a different segment. It's going to be called Class Spotlight. I have two lovely guests here today. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I am Courtney Crane, and it's really great to be here, Wyatt.
Yeah, welcome.
I'm Rachel Reinbeck. I'm excited about
this
podcast.
Yeah, this is very exciting. Once you told me that you were taking this class, I really just wanted to bring you in and learn more about it, you know? So today we're going to be talking about polygamy in America. Correct?
Yeah, all right.
So I don't know much about it other than, Mormons are polygamous, some Muslim cultures. What have you learned from the class that you didn't think you would? Is there anything like that's really stood out? What's the big selling point for the class?
I think she covers a lot like how people say, oh, Mormons in themselves are polygamous, but she covers a lot how stressing like fundamentalist Mormons are the polygamists. So mainline Mormons aren't really.
Right. It's not. If you're Mormon, you're not automatically polygamous.
Right,
it's like a denomination or a very strict.
Right. And she's very careful not to like make sure to persecute the religion either.
She's really respectful.
Very respectful.
Yeah. Most teachers here, so far with me, all teachers have been very respectful if we're talking about someone else's religion or faith.
Yeah.
I think that is a healthy way to explore, their beliefs in a very respectful manner. And this subject, I know, is just so foreign to people like us, in the middle of the United States. We don't really see polygamy, And so hearing about it, it just seems so strange and interesting.
I can't speak for Rachel, but I really did not know what I was getting into when I signed up for this class. She teaches it. It's a very non-traditional way that she teaches it. So we basically teach it. So we do a presentation every single week, and it's over with now. But it was a lot of work, but that's how you learn. I've learned so much by just researching the topic and telling people about it.
So did she assign that subject for you to research, or did she was like, oh, just go ham?
For the first few weeks and stuff, she would give us subjects and be like, here's what you need to present on. There's like some topics. But for this last one, for the presentation for our final paper, we kind of just chose our own topic. So a lot of people are talking about different people in polygamy, what polygamy does to people involved, stuff like that.
Okay. And when you guys went into the class, a lot of teachers like to ask, so why are you taking this class? I know, and you can be as honest as you want to be, but what do you think was the reason that class caught your eye? Or is it because it's required for you, or did you see it and you're like, I want to take that class?
Yeah. I just love Professor Abbott.
Right.
And I was like, I remember her talking about it in my intro class with her. And I was like, Rachel, do you want to take this with me? Because like we took our intro to criminal justice class together. Mm-hmm. That's actually how I became friends with Rachel.
Okay.
But
that's cool.
No, I said, do you want to take this class with me?
Yeah.
And so we did, and I mean, I'm glad we did, because I've learned so much this semester that I never would have thought existed in America.
Yeah. Abbott is a great teacher, so if any people who are listening to this want to take a class with Abbott, just do it. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, definitely. There are teachers here that it's when they start talking about, like, oh, you need to take later classes in their thing, and you're like, of course I'm going to take that. I heard, what's that class everyone talks about, Philosophy of Death? Like, as soon as that gets brought up, everyone's like, I need to sign up for that. Just because it's so interesting. You hear the title. And same with polygamy in America. It's like, it just sounds interesting. I bet you get a lot of students in there who are just like, oh, I wanted to take it because I just want to learn about it. Which is kind of rare for college. We're kind of a streamlined, these are the classes you have to take. So when you have these outlying classes that are so interesting, it fascinates me.
Oh. I think you and I are really the only people who are in there that aren't required
aren't
to take
to
it.
We're not required, but we take because it's fun.
Yeah, everybody else, I think, is like criminal justice majors they have to have those classes too.
Yeah, they need that understanding of it because it's part of the law here in the United States.
Right. Actually, did you know it was just not legalized, but decriminalized. In Utah. So it's like a misdemeanor now.
Instead of a felony,
that makes sense. A lot of decriminalization's going on, but with a whole bunch of topics. But I can see since Mormons are such a important part of like the economy in Utah that they're like, oh yeah, decriminalize that.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah, because that's all I know. But I've seen what is it, the Book of Mormon play, and that's all I know about it.
Iconic.
that's my view into the Mormon culture, and they don't really address polygamy in that.
No, it's like a whole other thing. It's like an entire different universe. Like the FLDS is just on another plane. It doesn't. It almost doesn't even like sound like Mormonism at all.
Huh.
No, I mean I think they have the same like
like core beliefs and stuff.
Yeah, but. It's the only thing that's different is the practice of polygamy. So you have like your Church of Latter-day Saints and then you have the Fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints, and the fundamentalists are the ones who practice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Polygamy. So that's the divide there.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. So how much did you focus on just like the Mormon culture? Is that a big part of the class or did it go into like all different types?
That was like the beginning of the class.
Yeah.
Okay. Beginning of the class, we just went over like Joseph Smith, like the founder of Mormonism and kind of just like went through how they all came to America. They were already in America, but how they moved throughout America and got to the West and stuff like that. And from there, it kind of just gradually slid into FLDS, which was kind of nice to know about like the background of Mormonism.
Right. Yeah. And it helps to understand, like it helps me understand, you know, why do these people do what they do? You know, the guy that I did my report on, I was like, I want to like, this is so weird to me. I don't want to say messed up because I don't want to, you know, talk bad about them.
Right.
But I'm like, this is so foreign. This is so weird to me. Why do they let people do this? Why is he doing this? And so I looked into the history of it. And I think that's just the best way. That's the only way to learn, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. With you do have to go back to the basics in order to fully understand something. So, and that would probably be the biggest case of polygamy in the United States early on. So that would be the foundation of it here. What is the most interesting thing you have learned from the class? Like someone you presented on, or
Well, I'm doing my paper and final presentation on Winston Blackmore, and he's just really weird kind of because he's still a polygamist, but when Warren Jeffs kind of, he overtook the FLDS, I think, I don't want to get this wrong, but I think it was in like the 80s.
Warren Jeffs took it over?
Yeah.
I feel like it was after that because I mean, he didn't like get arrested till like 2010, 2011.
So he took it over then, sometime around there, and then this guy, he lives in Canada and he has a bunch of people, has like, I think he had like 24 wives.
He had quite a few.
A lot of wives and a bunch of kids, obviously. But he's not, he doesn't deal with Warren at all. Like Warren Jeffs, the main guy of the FLDS, he kind of like has his own thing going on and it's kind of like laid back almost. I don't know.
Now, is he the one that has the wives like illegally cross the border?
I think so.
Into Canada?
Yeah, there's some shady stuff going on with that one. Just like a lot of the fundamentalist groups in America are like, well, we want our girls to get married, so they like send them off to Canada or whatever.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of like way down. Like you don't even realize that even if you're just talking about FLDS. Like
there's some messed up stuff. But
for
with
sure.
That like I just did my report on a man named Tom Green.
Okay.
Which, after doing this, you know, he's almost just as bad as, like, Warren Jeffs. You know, Warren Jeffs was on America's, like, Most Wanted.
Right.
Yeah, top 10 Most Wanted.
Top 10 Most Wanted, yeah. And so this dude actually, I don't know how to explain this. So he was married to two sisters who were older. They each had daughters, young daughters.
Okay.
13, 14.
Right.
He ended up marrying their daughters.
At the same time as the mom?
Yes.
Oh.
No, they were stepdaughters, so like they weren't blood related to him. But he also married another set of sisters. So he's married to two sets of sisters and then their cousin. He married one of them when she was 13.
Okay.
She had a baby when she was 13.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's like a common problem.
Yes.
Yeah, so is this common in that kind
of community?
Yeah, this is why people look down upon it so much.
Okay, yeah. So I assume a lot of those laws are to protect, you know, those young women. And
well,
things
that,
like that,
and then you get into like the scamming and the whole money side of it too.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's a
definitely
big part.
That's not even something that I thought about. Like the food stamp scams,
right?
And whatnot. So I mean, I think that's like a big reason why it's not legalized in a lot of places either, because you can't legally be married to more than one person, but they're still living off of, they're all living off of welfare and registering as single mothers.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Getting like the WIC checks and like the food stamps. So
I feel like there would be nothing wrong with polygamy, like just in and of itself, but since it's associated with like FLDS and stuff like that, and since they're so associated with like child abuse and child rape and stuff like that, it's, you know, a crime here. But I feel like in and of itself, polygamy, like polyamory, stuff like that, is fine. But
yeah, I mean, like, I don't care if you're married to more than one person, just don't scam the government and don't marry 13-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah.
Ideally.
Do you think legalizing it would make it would kind of cause a lot of those problems to go away? Because they, I feel like some people may not seek help if they're being abused in a relationship if it's part of like an illegal type relationship. Well,
I mean, I just think they're so, I don't want to say brainwashed, but they think that it's okay.
Right.
So like, I mean, you see these interviews with like these girls, like that 13-year-old girl that got married to this 50-year-old.
Yeah.
She thought it was okay. She actually asked him to marry her.
Yeah.
And so, as part of your religion, I could see why that would be so important, you know?
Right.
So I could see why they just blindly would accept it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think, polygamy should be legal just for freedom's sake? Like, I'm not saying that you believe in it, but
well, I
you
mean,
think it should
like,
be legal?
I'm under the assumption that the government shouldn't have a say in what people do with their personal lives, but
right.
So I think they can do whatever they want so long as it doesn't hurt anybody else.
Right, yeah. Right.
And that's part of the problem too. Like, you, I mean, I'd like to say that it should be legal, but with how closely related it is to a lot of
how
other
it's practiced.
Problems. Yeah. Like, I mean, like I said before, it wouldn't be a problem, but since there's FLDS out there kind of abusing abusing their kids.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a very weird subject. So I you guys are basically the experts for me. So I'm asking.
Just barely.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
So besides Mormons, did you guys, or anything related to Church of Latter-day Saints, right? Is that the right church?
Mm-hmm,
Has there been any other communities that you've studied that have been practicing polygamy?
She just focuses on FLDS.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would ever like evolve into a class where she would teach it like that had other cultures in it. I think she's really, really deep into the FLDS.
Right.
That's understandable.
Yeah. So, I think she just likes that though, just because of the whole criminal aspect of it.
And
I mean, because she is a criminal justice teach,
and it's here in America, so it's relevant to all of us here who live in America.
Yeah, just the basic research I did. I know there's some smaller communities of like, you know, Muslim cultures and things. When they come over here, they still believe in polygamy and things like that. So I just didn't know if you touched on that, but I know that since the Church of Latter-day Saints is such a big topic in itself with polygamy, that you could just focus on that. And that would take, you know, all semester to learn
I mean, and it has. I mean, we could go well into next year.
Especially the way you guys present, you know, so it's, you could, I'm sure there's hundreds and hundreds of cases that you could just keep going into.
Yeah.
It's such a deep well of information
It is very deep.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's a lot. Like, I think that, like, I remember I did one of my presentations on Utah becoming a state, and I don't know that it would have become a state as soon as it did without the Mormons, like, pushing for it either.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I remember they proposed, I don't know if they still do this, but I remember this was one of those cases where, like, every year they'd propose to the government that they wanted a new state or a new independent land called Deseret in the middle of the desert.
Yep.
And
Deseret.
Just Mormons.
They have like a newspaper called the Deseret News.
Yeah.
I use it like it's a source for
a lot
of my stuff.
I mean, that's so great. I think they have such a pride for their culture that they're of course we're independent of you.
Well, when it was interesting when they were becoming a state, in like the state constitution, it was put in there that the practice of polygamy had to cease, and that's where the split came from.
Oh, okay, so because a lot of people wanted to form the state, but a lot of people wanted to continue practice.
Right.
Okay, that makes
sense. So that's when you got the Church of Latter-day Saints, and then you had the fundamentalists who kind of went underground.
Yeah, because those big divides in a faith don't happen just overnight. You know, it does take some event, some change, you know, in their society. And so that was becoming a state. I bet the U.S. government's like, we are not going to let you make that legal. No way.
They're like, okay, fine. We'll stay in the
fine. US. We'll just pretend we don't do that. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
A lot of Mormons get like really upset about like being associated with polygamy.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard if you go to Nauvoo, don't ask them about polygamy.
Don't do it. It's like a sensitive, touchy subject.
Yeah. Did you learn a lot about the rest of their culture? Because you said you were learning about them at the beginning, or did you just focus on them?
Well, Professor Abbott says that they all dress in prairie dresses. So
FLDS.
They dress in prairie dresses. Yeah. No, I mean, we really haven't learned a lot about their culture, I don't think.
Yeah, less about like mainline Mormons and more about like how
just that sect
FLDS. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we all know Mormons. We all know people from like all different types of religions.
I mean, especially here in Quincy. There's Mormons here in Quincy.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And I assume they are not the polygamous kind here
in Quincy. No. As far as I know.
Well, yeah.
They're like, I don't know. His wife has a lot of sisters. They all live together. It's very weird. No, it's such an interesting topic, you know, because all I knew about Mormons before, you know, like besides the polygamy was that they don't drink caffeine, which apparently they are starting to now. They're drinking like...
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, some kind of like Diet Coke or Dr. Pepper or something. Just like the community, since community and things like that. Like, I've been to Utah, and you can see those giant churches they have and just their dedication to their faith.
Well, their churches are, like, beautiful. Like, the ones that I have seen, like, their temples, they're, like, all white. The insides are all white.
And they're huge.
They're huge. They're gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
There's that one in Ohio. I can't remember the name of it, but.
Oh yeah. God, the Kirtland Temple.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so wild. Yeah, it's amazing. And I wonder, because I know that some things change in a religion as time moves on. I wonder how closely that sect that still believes in polygamy would change their other ideas of faith. Or are they very hard set in their ways? I really want to know that, if it is just because it's tradition, or if they really just, they're like, oh, well, we like this specific part, you know, the polygamy part. Or if it is just, well, we've been practicing this since the beginning, so we're not going to change it, which seems like the noble route, you know. But I know that some guys are crazy, and they're like, I want 17 wives, and I don't want anyone to complain about it.
Well, Warren Jeffs had, like, 73?
I don't even know.
73?
Too many to count.
He's like...
kids.
Yeah, who was the guy in the Bible who had all the wives, or he had all the... Oh, man.
Solomon?
Was it Solomon?
Solomon had a lot of wives and a lot of concubines.
Yeah. It's like that. It's
I'm
like,
ashamed I know that.
Yeah. It's like, how do you keep going? Like, after, like, you made it to 10. That's insane. And they're like, oh, no, I'm looking for hundreds.
I think Solomon had, like, 700 wives and 300 concubines.
Yeah,
that
correct
me if
right.
I'm wrong, but that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you couldn't even see every single
that's
woman.
That's what always got me. It's like, you can't see, if you saw one each day, you wouldn't see them all in the year. You'd have to see multiple throughout the day.
You'd see about half of them. Yeah. Like.
Oh, my gosh.
That's too much.
That's too much. Yeah, and I assume that's the deep side of polygamy.
Yeah.
I wonder how, like, the stress factor, the more spouses you have, does it get easier if there's just a good dynamic? Or is it just the fact there's more people just makes it so much more stressful?
From what we've studied, I don't think that these men have any regards for their wives that they marry other than making babies and
growing their planet.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I was going to ask is why is this their belief? Like what started that?
So I think they believe, because we didn't really talk about like their doctrines other than you're supposed to have more than one wife.
Yeah. We touched on it a little bit, so it's kind of hard to remember, but
right.
It's basically when you die, you get your own planet, like your own earth. You become a god.
Okay.
And all of these women that you're married to, when they die, they go up to your planet with you, and the children that you make on your planet populate the new planet.
Yeah. So like essentially like this planet, like the god of this planet was previously a human, and he had a bunch of wives and children, and so he died and made his own planet, and we're on that planet. It's like, it's meta. Oh, it's super meta.
Yeah, and it's like reincarnation on an extreme scale.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, no, you're not even part of the same planet. You're somewhere totally new. And it's all you, buddy. It's all you.
Yep.
I can see why people like that.
Yeah. And so I think that's why, like, people don't stop practicing it, just because it is part of their belief system. It's part of their faith.
Yeah, I mean, when you, like, grow up in a religion that is, you know, like, really strict or has rules that are different than, like, normal society, you don't question that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, personally, coming from a super strict religious background, like, you don't even think about all these other opportunities you might have. And, like, the question came up in class a lot, like, why would these women let their children be married to so many men, like three times their age? And it's, I think you just don't question it.
Yeah, no, right. If it's so integral, yeah, that's normal. Yeah. It's like, well, and why would I question, like, a normal part of my life?
Yeah, I kind of read through, because that's what my question was with this Tom Green dude. How come this mother let her 13-year-old daughter marry a 50-year-old?
Yeah, but you said that the daughter was asked him, right?
But I looked into her mother's history, and her mother was married off when she was 12.
Yeah, so that's
back in, like, the 60s.
It's just a normal part of their whole entire religion.
I mean, that was normal for her. She's like, I want the same thing for my kid if that's what she wants.
Yeah. I mean, when I tell people about, like, the stuff that I used to do with my church, they're like, oh, that's just weird. But, like, I mean, when you're inside of it, you don't think about that. Like, it's just normal, everyday stuff.
And see, I don't know. I'm glad, like, with the whole church thing, I got to leave and then come back to it. And I think that just gives you a whole new perspective on church. So, I mean, I can't speak for Mormons, but I don't know if they left, if they would go back to it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and it's really hard to, like, for fundamentalist Mormons, I'm not speaking about mainline, but for fundamentalist Mormons, it's really hard to leave. I mean, they make, like, they kind of, like, demonize the rest of the world and other religions. They kind of, like, well, our religion is the only one that is actually true, so, like, all the other ones are wrong, and if you, you know, leave here, you're probably gonna die.
I would be afraid I would wind up dead, because, I mean, like, I did that group of, did you help me do the LeBarons, or was that somebody else?
I don't know who that was.
Well, I mean, like, that group was killing people that left their, like, religious sect.
Yeah.
Like, they would express wanting to leave. Like, this dude killed his own daughter, because she said, I want to go back to Mexico with my family, my husband's abusing me.
Yeah.
And he killed her, and she was pregnant when he killed her.
Yeah. And those are, like, the crazy, crazy stories. Yeah. I can't imagine, like, how much more is out there.
Like, I mean, yeah, those people were, like, involved in the cartels and stuff, too. So, I mean, like, it is everywhere.
Yeah, isn't there something that Mormons like Mexico? Because it's legal there.
Yeah, no. Well, that's where this 50-year-old married the 13-year-old. They just so happened to end up.
So did they go down to Mexico to get married then?
They ended up in Mexico somehow. They were selling magazines. Because they sell magazines to stay, like, living and provide for themselves. So they somehow ended up in Mexico and got married and then just decided to stay there for a few extra days for a honeymoon.
Interesting.
One thing I've learned about researching this dude is the Mormons love their honeymoons.
Oh, yeah, I bet, I bet that's probably the most important part of their, the marriage part is probably the most important of their religion, because their whole goal is to, be fruitful, multiply, like,
and
spread their religion.
Legally married, so, yeah. I mean.
It's so crazy. I really respect the Mormons I know. So it's so, but it's so funny to hear parts of their religion that, or like denomination changes or things like that you're like, oh, that I had no idea that was a part of your faith. Because even looking back at, like, Christian faith, you know, what I practice, there are sects of Christianity where you're like, oh. What do you believe? You know, eventually led to Mormonism. So you're like, oh, you know, but it's still, there is that respect there, you know, that because it does take a lot of people coming together to believe in a certain faith.
Yeah.
And so you got to respect that. And one thing I did want to ask is, did you talk about, so in the United States, we are very set on coming up with freedoms for people, you know, because we're all oppressed. some more than others, and we are always looking for ways to make people more free. And I think when looking at that, many Americans will see Mormonism as kind of holding people back, especially the people that practice polygamy. Do you think that is that counterculture? Like, is that rude of people to is it bad to think that people should be free and shouldn't practice certain things because of their religion? Because even if it is so different, right. You know, it's like we don't practice that at all in the law. You know, so how do we tackle that? How do we approach that? You know,
they believe that they're completely free. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if that's your question, but
well, I'm saying like just legally from a legal standpoint, like we, the social issue of polygamy, you said was that these women might be abused. They're not really like
right. They
might not be taken care of to the full extent. So. How, as Americans and as young Americans, do we address polygamy in that section? Do we just let it keep going the way it is, or do we actively let people know so that they're aware? Like, I don't know. I don't know how to tackle
it. I think that's important, and I honestly think that's probably why Professor Abbott has this class, just to, like, let people know what's going on.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, like, we're, like, really crazy about freedom and making sure everyone has the right to live how they want. But I think people should know about the abuse that goes on. But like definitely. I said earlier, like, I mean, the polygamy aspect in and of itself is probably not a bad idea. But
right. I mean, there's abuse in any sort of
exactly.
relationship yeah. or religion. Right. I mean, I guess you're more susceptible to abuse if you are in a polygamous relationship. Like, yeah. is that wrong of me to say?
I mean, especially yeah. when, like, religion is involved. I feel like that is when people kind of take it to the next level.
Yeah. And even not just abuse. I mean, with women's rights in this country, you know, we don't like to see any woman treated unfairly, you know, not even just an abusive way, just, oh, well, she's not getting the respect that she deserves, yeah. you know? So that's why I think that people will see Mormonism as kind of, polygamy as a very, like, just weird thing, especially in our modern America. So I don't know how many people view that today. So I wondered if your class... It just seemed like everyone was confused early on, or like, you know, like they just see it and they're like, these people are backwards, you know?
I mean, like, quite honestly, like, what I was always like dead set against polygamy before this class. I'm like, it's
so,
wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
so now you're just, now you're open
now
to the idea.
I'm just kind of like,
yeah.
What's so wrong with, like, if that's how they choose to live their life, like, no, I don't think it's right, but that's not my say to tell you that you're wrong.
Exactly,
like,
yeah,
why is it
that.
So illegal to do this?
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, now I'm kind of like, if you want to have, like, 10 wives, have 10 wives, but it's a little weird, bud.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think that was her, like, that was her whole, like, whole focus, I feel like, for Abbott doing this class, like, presenting us with the facts and just, you know, letting us make up our minds about it. She doesn't really, like... pick on anyone for their opinion or anything.
No.
She's, oh, that's,
no.
Yeah, she's, like, really chill with people's opinions, which is good.
And, well, and she makes sure that, like, we are in the know. Like, we've talked about even other stuff in this class, like, before, like, especially, like, with the election. She's like, are you guys registered to vote? Like, make sure you go. Like, it opens on this date. Like, she makes sure that we're aware. And she talks about, like, modern news stories, too. Yeah. I mean,
heck, in our intro class, Intro to Criminal Justice, like, she would have us every week or whatever that she would have us like research stories, like news stories that were happening like that week and just like talk about them.
Okay. Right.
Like, she's, that's not really to do with polygamy, but
that's teaching skills to keep you intrigued
and interested.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, and that's important parts for these kind of classes. Cause with all that information, if you're not interested, then it's hard to absorb all that.
So. Oh, for sure.
But I can tell that you guys really were sucked into this class. Which is really good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I
need classes like that.
I don't know. I just took it to take it. Cause I mean, I needed credit hours. I wouldn't have taken this class. And I was just like, well, she always talked about this and I knew it was going to fill up super fast. So I'm glad like you and I were fortunate and we're upperclassmen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, and it's important to find those funny classes with good teachers. So,
she's hilarious too. I mean, she is one of the nicest people here
for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's not an easy class by a long shot. It's a pretty difficult class,
okay.
But
very time consuming.
She makes it like fun to be in.
Oh yeah, I've enjoyed like every single class we've met.
Sure. Yeah, so the workload was worth it for the teacher and then. And
yeah,
what
and
learned,
yeah,
sort of
and like the
it.
Material that we learned and like you know how that applies to how we
it's just.
Perceive the world.
This might be like a question that like a teacher would ask after, but like, what do you think you'll use this information for in your life? Just a better understanding of the world, or do you think it'll help you with your degree? What do you think?
I mean, I don't think it will help me necessarily with my degree in itself. But I mean, it's helpful to learn about other people's cultures, you know, just to like get a feel for, you know, not only just FLDS, but also mainline Mormons and how they came into play in America, like the first all-American religion or whatever.
Right.
But I think it's more of just like a cultural understanding and less of like a...
Yeah, I'm more educated.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, I always hate it when I was in high school. I came from a very small town. I was very uneducated about the world.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very fortunate to have these classes to know how other people live their lives. And it's helped me not to be so closed-minded either.
Yeah. It's really mind-opening just to like all the different things that people are doing in America. It's pretty cool.
Well, thank you guys for coming in and talking to me. Is there anything else that you guys want to tell us about your class or your experience or any advice you want to give?
Take the class.
Take the class, definitely.
Definitely take the class or any special topic class that she teaches.
Yeah, she teaches what, juvenile delinquency or?
It's the Innocence Project.
Yeah,
Innocence Project. Next semester.
So yeah, wow, if you're looking for an extra few credits, take that class. It's a good one.
Yeah, so if you're looking to get some interesting classes next semester, make sure to look out for these names. Thank you for joining us today on the QU Podcast. Have a good night.